What's going on, After Buzzers? Tonight, I am here with actor, writer, producer Patrick Kilpatrick, Hollywood's go-to guy for playing a bad guy. He's here to talk about his new book, Dying for a Living, Sins and Confessions of a Hollywood Villain and Libertine Patriot. He's also here to talk about his many years' experience in the film and TV industry. Do not move a muscle.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's going on, AfterBuzzers? Here is the most famous, most handsome man, Patrick Kilpatrick. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Oh, God bless you.
I'm very happy that you're here tonight to talk about your new book, Dying for Living, Sins and Confessions of a Hollywood Villain and Libertine Patriot. I have to talk about the title very quickly.
Yeah.
What made you come up with that title?
Well, it's more about gobbling every second of life. And it kind of segues into the fact that I've played so many villains. I joke around and say I've been killed by every leading man and leading lady and on Earth and in outer space. But it's more about from birth right till now just eating it, you know, getting as much out of life as possible because we're all here for just a very short time.
Mm-hmm. Now, what made you decide to write the book?
Well, you know, I started as a journalist writing for most of the magazines in New York and many of the ad agencies. So writing has been part of my life for 50 years and did a lot of screenwriting, still do. But I found I had a repository after 30 years of being an actor of insider stories and some inspiration into craft and some getting over some really challenging events like a car crash and that kind of thing. And I found when I was in groups of telling people would tell stories, I often had a story that topped the one. And it made me feel bad. I didn't want to be in the business of diminishing others. So I knew I needed to find a place separate and apart from acting. You know, a lot of the screenplay writing was not autobiographical in any way. So, and I had a very privileged upbringing. My dad was a World War II hero and founded Cigna Corporation, struck out George Bush to win the National Collegiate Baseball Championship. Oh. Mother had some mental health issues and a very vivid affair with my high school baseball coach.
Wow.
And so I had a very sort of blend of highly literate, highly volatile upbringing. And then that took me through the New York Magazine world and Broadway and off-Broadway and playwriting and then right into all these action villain slash physicality. And so I thought that was a good way to go. We broke it into two volumes because it was a 600-page manuscript.
Wow.
First one, a lot of Hollywood stuff front-loaded because I know that's key to what people want to hear. But, you know, it's the inorganic brain damage, the discipline, the insanity, the leading men who can't learn their lines or use cue cards.
So it's a little salacious in there.
Oh, there's a lot of, you know, biracial affairs and every other thing you can imagine.
It's a juicy book.
Well, you know, it's a tale. Mm-hmm. As my lovely bride over there said, it's Tom Jones for the 21st century.
Mm-hmm.
There's politics.
Okay.
It's funny thing, the agents told me, take the politics out first, and then Trump was elected, and they said, put the politics back.
Yeah, everybody wants those ratings, right? Everyone wants those reviews. Huh. What was the easiest time that you had when writing your book?
The easiest time was writing a chapter a week to my lady loved because I was trying to entertain her. The most brutal thing is the proofing. There's no end to it. I worked at Time Inc. As a highly placed writer, and you know the whole company would proof things, and you still end up with a comma out of place. Again, I'll say Heidi, my lady, is a relentless proofer, and it doesn't matter how many eyes you put on it, you're gonna miss something.
Yeah, of course.
Your brain is making what you think is there after a while. But the writing is a joy.
Yeah. Now, the book I have right here, it's available on Amazon.com right now.
Amazon.com, BarnesandNobles.com, PatrickKilpatrick.com.
Your website, yes,
an autographed copy.
Oh, nice.
But digital, soft cover, and hardcover.
Nice. And you've got some reviews from James Woods, Ron Perlman, Joe Mantegna. I mean, you've got some pretty hard hitters reviewing this book.
Yeah. The critics and readers have been really great, and some of my peers have been fabulous and said unsolicited really great stuff. And that's coming in all the time. I just got one from Costas Mandalore and Art Camacho, the great legendary action director, and just wonderful things.
When you were writing the book, and even after it was finished, were you worried about any backlash from people? Do you name people by name in this book?
I do. It's heavily vetted by lawyers.
I'm sure.
I was not worried about it. I just wanted to go. First of all, you know, very interesting defamation and slander laws. Mm-hmm. If it happened and you were there, and celebrities by their nature give up certain rights of privacy. Mm-hmm. A private person has, interestingly enough, has a much more tighter realm of privacy protection. But I try to do it with a loving yet ruthless manner to myself as well as to others. It all happened. I'm very, very dedicated to make sure that that occurred.
Nice. And Volume 1 is out now.
Volume 1 came out October 3rd. We launched it at the National Press Club and the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts.
Oh, perfect.
Just did the biggest signing in at Barnes & Noble's in Manhattan.
Congratulations.
Have a whole bunch of L.A. signings coming up, Book Soup. Dark Delicacies right around the corner will be January 12th.
Okay.
Book Soup, January 18th, Chaucer's in Santa Barbara, Burbank in March. So we've got a lot of stuff going on.
Nice. And when do you anticipate Volume 2 coming out?
We're trying to get for Valentine's Day,
okay.
February 14th.
Nice.
That's all show business.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. I want to get into your acting history a little bit because, you know, you've appeared in over 75 hit TV shows. You've appeared in over 170 movies. In a whirlwind.
I think it's combined 170 for both.
Okay. Yeah. It's still a lot of movies and / TV shows. In a whirlwind 18-month period, did 5 major studio films, 2 independents, and 27 television guest star spots on 18 different shows. You must be tired.
Well, no, you know, I call it curse of a liberal arts education. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of energy. I think my lady will attest to that. Early on I learned that auditioning was the key mm-hmm. to the kingdom. Mm-hmm. And unlike if you get a series lead where you have a character and you have the big, great blessing of being able to ride with that one character, I had to switch mm-hmm. Sometimes 2 or 3 times in a day, which is a great repertory device. In mm-hmm. England, they have about 300 theaters to do that. But here you have what's called pilot season.
Yeah.
And so you're changing in cars and you're, if they say cry, they say be a Serbian, you're a Serbian. And so it's a great, 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 great developing device. I got through that period you described and I thought, you know, I'm not making Bruce Willis money, but this is the greatest acting developmental situation you could possibly be in. I always joke around, and I do in the book, about Daniel Day-Lewis. Mm-hmm. You know, they were interviewing him for There Will Be Blood, and they said, how'd you get the voice for There Will Be Blood? He goes, well, I recorded every day little snippets, and I sent it to the director, Paul Anderson. And finally, after 8 months, we came up with a voice, and I was like, are you kidding me? We have to come up with that voice in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the world he lives in. Right. One movie every 2 years or 3 years. If you're a working actor in L.A., you're banging it down.
Yeah, of course. Excluding your book, because I assume that this is your baby, what was your favorite project to work on?
You know, very common question and a good one. Hard to beat working with Steven Spielberg, but the truth is, they're like children. You love every single one of them.
Of course.
And the down and dirty, low-budget ones, you know, you get there and you're doing your own dialect and you're shooting your own weapons and doing your own stunt driving 5 minutes after you get there, screaming improvisational dialogue. If you're in a movie like Minority Report or Eraser or Replacement Killers, there's a lot of components. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of sitting down, which is one reason why I do so much writing. You know, it's either that or get in trouble on the set.
Yeah.
So I would read and I would bring my production company onto the set vis-a-vis computers and stuff and use up the time.
Right. Now, Volume 1 is out now. Volume 2 you have coming out on Valentine's Day, around Valentine's Day. What other things do you have coming up?
Well, there's a movie, Catalyst. They play a pedophile priest. No snickering from the audience, please.
Including me.
Very interesting experience, because as reviled as that action is, you learn the sort of the lack of nurturing and isolation from youth is what kind of causes that behavior. Very similar to overeating or smoking, that kind of thing. Night Walk, which is, I describe it as a Romeo and Juliet. Western journalist meets Islam beauty, filmed in Morocco. I'm wearing their lovely jacket.
You look
tonight.
Very snazzy.
Thank you. And that's coming out with Sean Stone, Oliver Stone's son, starring as the Western journalist. And I'm the towering vessel of hate. And I got to improv my way through the whole movie and insult every cultural group on the planet.
Well, that's fun.
Yeah.
I always like to close out with this. What's the best lesson you've learned throughout your career, and when did you learn it?
Best lesson, well, I told you about the auditioning as being key to the kingdom. That's for working. But the cross disciplines of writing, directing, producing, and acting are really key. I think the other thing is to try to maintain some kind of reality and humility about what you're doing. And I would call it opening yourself up to the divine, because then you stay in the moment and you let some really wonderful things happen when you're performing.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you for that.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Everybody, that is actor, writer, producer Patrick Kilpatrick. His new book, Dying for a Living, Sins and Confessions of a Hollywood Villain and Libertine Patriot, is out now. You can look forward to Volume 2 around Valentine's Day. Patrick, thank you so much for being here tonight.
Thank you so much, and Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays.
Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays. Thank you so much.
Cheers.
We'll see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.